from Matthew 21, 31 to 40. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you look after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me."
Well, good morning, everybody. It's always really good to be here. There is something very special about this church, and if you come here every Sunday, you might kind of get used to it, but be aware that for those of us who visit, that there is something special and unique about this fellowship, and I really appreciate that. I bring my wife's love and blessings and good wishes. Last year, much against my advice, she accepted a nomination to become the president of Churches of Christ, and then we mucked up our calendars, probably my fault, and so today she's down at Happy Valley, blessing the people there, and I'm up there, up here. She loves coming here, and so sucks to be her, doesn't it? So, yeah, that's right. So, we went in our own directions, and I won. So that's great. I've completely distracted myself. I didn't mean to say that. So, the announcement lady over here. You should have done the Care Works thing, because I wasn't going to go there at all. So now you've dumped that on me, so I'll take care of that if you like. Or do you want to come back and do it? No? Okay. I think what you were probably going to talk about was the Mother's Day appeal. Yeah. So each year, Care Works, on your behalf, gathers gifts of soaps and hand creams and sort of nice Mother's Day things, and they all arrive in one of our rooms down there, and there ends up being quite a mountain of them, and a couple of the volunteers get in there and sort them out, and then they go out the door to the staff of about four or five domestic violence shelters. So these are secure, gated communities where people who are fleeing from domestic violence can find some refuge and some safety. And there's lots of mums there with kids, and often without much resources. And so what happens is that the soaps and hand creams and things get squirreled away to the kids secretly, and then on Mother's Day they can give them a gift. And we get really strong feedback. It's a it's It's a small thing, and you know, it's not very difficult. And some might say, well, you know, there's a bit tokenistic. It doesn't really change anything for anybody, and life rolls on. But at that moment, those people feel loved and cared for, and some of them know, and certainly the staff knows, that that's because Churches of Christ reach out and care for them. And so on behalf of you and all of us, because of our love for Jesus and our desire to follow him, we do this. And so if that's something that you feel God's calling you to do, then I think it's probably in your newsletter. Just facilitate it. However you do it here, facilitate it, bring it up, and someone will drop it off to CareWorks and we'll make sure it goes in the right directions. Is that enough about that? Okay, that's good. Gee, there's been some beautiful things said today in the service. And it almost feels for me like, oh, well, I don't really need to say all that again. So thank you to the people who have been involved in preparing the service, and thank you for the ways in which that has undergirded and supported the few things that I want to say to you this morning. And I've just been sitting reflecting on it, and the great risk of what I'm about to do is that it can sound like I'm saying, you need to try harder and do this and this and this, because that's what you need to do because you claim to be Christians. And that's not what I'm trying to do today. What I'm really wanting to say is, what are the consequences of our relationship with God through Jesus? So not try harder, but rest in our relationship and allow that to just blossom out in ways in our life. So yeah, really, really don't want to be doing the guilt, you need to work harder sort of thing. I'll come around the sneak around behind you and do that a little bit differently. Do you recall the movie Catch Me If You Can? Frank Abagnale. I don't even know how to say it. It's such an odd name. Played by Leonardo DiCaprio, is being pursued by Carl Hanratty, played by Tom Hanks. And Frank Jr. Is a bit like his dad, but he is really good at scamming, being a scam artist and an impersonator. And during the course of the movie, he passes himself off. You remember the movie, yeah? He passes himself off. What does he pass himself off as? Everybody says airline pilot because, yeah, we remember that and that scene where he's walking through the airport with all of the cabin crew and stuff. So airline pilot, what else? A doctor? Lawyer? I got one more. It's a hard one, the other one. He passes himself off, even for just very quickly, for 30 seconds, as a Secret Service agent when he's about to get caught by another one and he convinces the other Secret Service, well, he convinces the genuine Secret Service person that he's one of them and sends him off chasing a ghost, really. So there we go. Pilot, lawyer, doctor, Secret Service agent. He was really good. And here's what my takeaway from that movie is. We can wear the uniform. We can talk the talk. We can look the part and still not be the genuine article. Have I told you the story about my martial arts career? You laugh, as if I haven't told you that before. I'll give you the brief version. It's not in my notes. It just jumped into my mind, so I'm going to go there. I did judo for a year or two when I was a young teenager, and I got through to the point where I had a yellow belt. Like, that's a long way from a black belt, but it was yellow. It's certainly one step forward from having a white belt, which is pretty. Well, everybody gets a white belt. You could all show up and wear a white belt, so there you go. So I had a yellow belt, and I was pretty proud that I had a yellow belt, but I stopped doing it because I was a big guy, and the bigger guys used to beat me up in the classes, so I didn't want to do it anymore, and I stopped. And so some years later, they did judo at high school as a sport thing. And so I thought, well, I'm an expert at this. I'm going to sign up and do judo. So I showed up with my yellow belt. This is after having not done anything for probably 4 or 5 years. And I show up with my yellow belt, and everybody else got their pathetic white belts on. And the instructor with his black belt spots me with my yellow belt, and he goes, oh, I can use this guy to demonstrate the things that I need to demonstrate. So he calls me out the front, And he does something, you know, which had a Japanese name, which he named and thought that I would understand what he was talking about. And he did it, and I fell down on the floor like a sack of potatoes, roughly. And he said, "Get up." And he said, "No, do it properly, do it properly." And he was doing a throw, and I was trying to demonstrate. Well, he wanted me to be demonstrating how to fall such that you won't hurt yourself. So he threw me, and I just fell on the floor, hurting myself. And he tried it a few times, and then he dressed me down in front of the whole class, saying, "You have no right to wear that yellow belt. You know nothing about judo." And so I was pretty humiliated at that point. Yeah. Don't feel sorry for him. I think it's hilarious. we can look the part, we can play the part, and not be anything like the part. So what did Jesus say to his followers about the hallmarks of people who follow him? A new commandment, we sang it, I give to you. Love one another. Love one another as I've loved you. Really interesting, you know, Jesus didn't say go to church more or show up to the Bible or prayer group, or he didn't even say, well, he did say go into all the world, but he said, here's the thing. This is what it's going to look like if you follow me. You're going to love one another. And stepping back to all the scripture, we understand that the Holy Spirit of God gets inside of us and begins this renewal and this change, which draws us to be people more full of love and compassion. And the loving of each other is not to earn anything. The loving of each other is a direct result of our experience of being loved by God. Can't earn it. It's been given to us. The question is really around how will we respond. I think Lois said something about how then shall I live? Didn't you? In your thing? There's a really great song. I should have thought of it today. It's to the tune of Finlandia. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. And that's as much as I can remember. And I tried to look it up on Dropbox while I was sitting there, but I couldn't get a connection. So you just have to. I then shall live. I then shall live. Not I shall live so that, but because of God's great love and grace for us, I then shall live. The story of the sheep and the goats that we heard, the first half of it, it goes on. There's another part to that that story, but we heard enough to get it. In a bunch of stories, Kingdom of God stories, Jesus tells this. Your story about sheep on one side and goats on the other. I'm sure we are all really familiar with the story. There's not an ounce of suggestion that the sheep try harder than the goats. The sheep do what sheep do, and the goats do what goats do, and we do what we do because of God's Spirit living inside of us. There was a Dutch painter who was active around the beginning of the 16th century who's just known as the Master of Alkmaar. And he painted this lovely painting. How big is it for you? That's not too bad. Leanne said you're not going to be able to see it, but I think you can. It's a painting. It's done in seven panels, and it's called The Seven Works of Mercy, painted by, as I said, the Master of Alkmaar. And each of the panels depicts a work of mercy from your left to right, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, giving clothes to the poor, burying the dead, welcoming the stranger, healing the sick, and visiting the imprisoned. All of the sheep and the goats images are embedded in that, plus the one burying the dead. It's a lovely painting, but there's something very interesting in it, that in each of those panels, I might use the laser pointer, I might not need to, In each of those panels, there's the same character shows up somewhere in the painting there. So up. Okay, I'm not going to use that laser pointer because it's not working. Oh, never mind, I've circled them anyway. In each of those pictures, there this same character shows up. So there, feeding the hungry, there's a lady holding a basket of bread, and Jesus is there with the people waiting in line to receive bread. Giving a drink to the thirsty, similarly someone's pouring out drinks. Clothes to the poor, there's Jesus in the crowd. Burying the dead, he's enthroned on high and receiving people in that context. Welcoming the stranger in the crowd, caring for the sick, there he is, waiting for some care, and visiting the prisoners. There he is in the back. It looks to me like he's got something in his hand, perhaps a vessel with some refreshments or something like that. So Jesus shows up in each of these panels, and I think that the point of the painting is that exactly what the sheep and the goat story is telling us, that in all of these contexts, that Jesus is there. They're seeing him, they're experiencing him, and he is the recipient, except in the middle panel, he's the recipient of the love and the grace of the people around him. It's not about how we dress for church. It's not about how often we show up. It's not about the language we use or the bumper stickers that are on our car or the t-shirts that we wear. The Christian faith is about responding to the love and grace of God and allowing that love and grace to transform us into people who love one another. I'm going to read you a piece of an email that I got from... At CareWorks, we have a work at the Noarlunga Church, really embedded in the fellowship of the Noarlunga Church. It's on their property, and lots and lots of their people are Noarlungaites that are there. And there's a lady there whose name I won't give you just for privacy reasons, but I got an email from somebody at Noarlunga talking about this lady. Says she's been with us for 3 years now. He's shown a great concern and love for the clients, and he's grateful for the opportunity to serve. The amazing thing is this, that shortly after joining us, she was diagnosed with cancer. And as well as her battle with cancer, she continued to work even after the cancer threat had passed and she had other procedures to deal with. I'm pleased to say that her cancer is remission and that she has taken over a role of running the cafe, plus developing the program. Life has been difficult for her in many ways, but she has never lost her willingness to be involved in loving and caring for others. What a beautiful little story that just comes out of the life of a local church or somebody who shows such great love. There's a story told in the CareWorks context of a gentleman who came to the Torrensville office one day. We have a program there that Colleen's very familiar with. It's called Emergency Relief, where we help people out when they're in a moment of real financial crisis. And this person came. He came out of hours. And Centrelink had sent him down because he had a bus ticket to get himself home from Centrelink, but they had kept him too long and it had gone from off-peak to peak and his bus ticket wouldn't work anymore. And he came on terribly painful hips, and he kind of waddled his way into the building. And there were probably some mental health issues in this guy's life as well. And he came out of hours, and all he wanted was a bus ticket. So it's no big deal, but a bus ticket was secured and found and taken to this person. He nearly wept as he received a bus ticket from one of our people. He nearly wept. And it was reported that it felt like there was a hug on the way, but it never came, to the relief of the care worker's person. But here's what was said. By my care works person said, in that moment, as this gentleman received his bus ticket and he offered his thanks and gratitude, I sensed that I was in the presence of Jesus. May we all serve Jesus as we reach out and care for the people who are around us. Shall we pray together? Loving God, we thank you that you make yourself present to us in the people that surround us. May we be transformed by your Holy Spirit into people of great love and compassion for others. In Jesus' precious name we pray.